Chapter 7 Explanations. Eleanor was about to start her letter to Edward when Edward came into the room. "I have come to say goodbye," he started, and it seemed the words were painful to him. "I am afraid we may not meet very soon."
"And I have great news to tell you," said Eleanor, and then went on to tell him about the kind offer of Colonel Brandon.
Edward's eyes grew bigger and bigger in surprise.
"Colonel Brandon offers me all this? How did you manage to persuade him to do it?"
"I did no such thing," protested Eleanor. "You owe it all to your gentlemanlike behaviour, Edward."
"Oh, I have no doubt I owe it to you, to your goodness."
Edward's eyes explained more than his words. They told Eleanor he loved her as much as he had always done, and that the situation he was now in was as difficult for him as it was for her. But no more words passed between them, and Edward left soon afterwards. The Miss Dashwoods had stayed in London for 2 months now, and to Marianne's great happiness, they were starting on their journey home that day. It was going to take them about 2 weeks or so they were staying in Mrs. Jennings' other house at Cleveland for Easter. Colonel Brandon was keeping them company. While at Cleveland, Marianne hardly stayed indoors. She had missed the country air and beauty so much while in London that now she spent nearly all her time walking and admiring the views. But as she was still weak, hardly slept, and ate next to nothing, the long and tiring walks in wet boots soon resulted in a heavy cold, which grew more serious every day. At first, Eleanor saw nothing to worry about. But one night when Marianne's temperature was really high, even she got frightened. The doctor was sent for, came, looked serious, left some medicines, and said he would be back in the morning. But Marianne was not getting any better. She trembled, was white as a sheet, and kept calling her mother in a terrible voice. Mrs. Jennings was convinced that the poor girl was dying. Eleanor did not let herself think such thoughts, but decided to send a messenger to her mother to join them in Cleveland immediately. Colonel Brandon volunteered to be the messenger, and though it was in the middle of the night, he got on his horse and galloped to Barton College. It was then that Eleanor saw for the first time that Mrs. Jennings' first jokes about him being in love with Marianne had a grain of truth in them. His love must have grown during the time he had spent with them in London, and what Eleanor saw in his eyes now was the fear of losing a loved person again. First Eliza, now Marianne. The two sisters struggled through the night. Eleanor fought for Marianne's every breath and waited for her every heartbeat. At last, at about 4 o'clock in the morning, Marianne grew calmer and fell asleep. Her breath was more regular. Her heart seemed to be going back to its normal rhythm. Eleanor could not have been happier. She only waited for her mother to arrive so that she could tell her the good news. And then she heard horses outside. She ran downstairs and saw Willoughby.
"How is she?" he cried.
"Better," replied Eleanor. "Could you please leave this house now?"
"Miss Dashwood, for a minute, please let me stay. I need to talk to you. I need to, if I can, make you hate me a little less. Please let me explain."
"Well, sir, be quick then."
"I am married now, and very rich, but not happy, Miss Dashwood. I had not known what love was till I realized I had lost your sister. Oh, what a scoundrel I was when you first met me. I admired Marianne's pretty face in Devonshire, but never thought of marrying her. I was poor, and she was poor. That was not a match for me. Sure, I would one day get Allenham, but when? I could not count on all that. Oh, what a cold-hearted character I was. But during the months we spent together, I grew so fond of your sister that I decided to marry her despite all of this. We would have to wait till we get Allenham, I thought to myself. The day when I left you, I was going to ask for Marianne's hand. Something happened which stopped me. Mrs. Smith learnt about my affair with Colonel Brandon's relation, Eliza Williams. I need not explain it further. I am sure you know the details of it."
"Yes,"
replied Eleanor, and I do not know how you can possibly explain your behaviour to her. You left her knowing fully well she had no means of contacting you, no address, nothing.
I did not know it, explained Willoughby, and stood up from his seat.
Remember who you heard the story from. Because I was a scoundrel, must she be a saint?
He started to walk about the room, trying to calm down.
But anyway, he continued after a while, Mrs. Smith was really angry with me then. She said I would not leave Allenham or any money to me unless I married Eliza. This could not be. I had to leave, go to London, and marry someone with a fortune. I had known Miss Grey, my present wife, before. I knew she would be ready to marry me. And this is what happened.
And your letter, Mr. Willoughby? Asked Eleanor. How could you have written such a letter?
Ha! You liked my wife's style of writing, then?
Your wife's! Eleanor exclaimed.
The letter was in your handwriting!
Yes, but I only copied the sentences which my wife so charmingly put together. She had found Marianne's letters to me and got jealous. The letter was her revenge.
He stopped, looked Eleanor in the eyes, and said with pain ringing in his voice, Will you tell it to your sister?
Eleanor nodded her head, and Willoughby kissed her hand and left the house without another word.
There was no end to Mrs. Dashwood's joy at finding both her daughters in much better health than she expected.
Eleanor, did you know, she asked her when they were alone, that Colonel Brandon loves Marianne? He told me so himself when we were coming here. I hope she'll love him too, as I think he would be so much better for her than Willoughby. There was something about that man which I never liked, do you remember?
Eleanor did not remember, but that was not important at the time. They were together again, and would soon be going home.
Afterward. The Miss Dashwoods and their mother were sitting down to their dinner on a warm April afternoon when their servant came in with the news.
We have just met Mrs. Ferrars, as she was parting in her carriage. She sends her regards.
As he saw the ladies' changed faces, he added,
It was Miss Lucy Steele before, madam. She is married to Mr. Ferrars now.
Yes, said Mrs. Dashwood, observing how white the faces of her two elder daughters were.
Thank you, Thomas.
Eleanor now learned the difference between expecting a painful event and experiencing it. For the first time in her life, she felt she would not be able to stay calm a minute longer. And then she was forced to do so because Edward Ferris's figure appeared outside the house. He came in, was welcomed, and asked a few questions about the weather and the roads. There was a long silence, interrupted heroically by Eleanor, who asked,
And how is Mrs. Ferris? Is she waiting for you in the carriage?
My mother? Said Edward with some surprise.
I believe she is in London.
I meant Mrs. Edward Ferrars.
Perhaps you meant Mrs. Robert Ferrars, Edward said slowly.
Mrs. Robert Ferrars? Repeated the ladies.
It turned out that after it became clear that Mrs. Ferrars would not change her mind and indeed pass all Edward's money on to Robert, Lucy suddenly moved her affection to him, too. 2 weeks after the Miss Dashwoods had left London, she wrote a letter to Edward explaining that she was going to marry his younger brother, with whom she was greatly in love. Edward's engagement to Lucy was formed when Edward was very young and could not yet judge people better. But later, when he realized his mistake, it was too late, as Lucy seemed to be so much in love with him that he felt he could not break his word to her. He had never realized that she had been after his money all the time. At any rate, Edward was now free and came to Barton to ask for Eleanor's hand, which was what he had long wanted to do. It can be easily guessed what her reply was. Eleanor and Edward lived very happily in their small house next to Colonel Brandon's residence. It was not far from Barton College, either. Their happiness increased even more when, after 2 years,
Marianne moved to live with the Colonel as his wife. Neither Eleanor nor her mother had ever dared to suggest this marriage to her. Marianne simply started to gradually find Colonel Brandon a very good companion. His tastes in books and music turned out to be exceptionally good. She valued all his other opinions more and more. In time, she even forgave his flannel waistcoat. And as Marianne could never do anything by halves, she finally married the man whom she loved with all her heart.